The scripture reading for tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God.
Thank you, Steve. Do you know what the hardest thing about Christianity is? It's not listening to a 25-minute sermon or even singing where the song leader is off key, when that's not the place here, but I've been a few places where the singer sounded like my dad, and my dad couldn't sing. The hardest thing about Christianity is submitting. It's choosing to yield the righteous way of God. That's the hardest thing. Years and years ago, we had a little dog when we lived in Andover, Royal Princess Marley. Cutest little cocker spaniel you ever saw. Never go out of the yard. She was smart. She was loving. And then one day, when the man came around to read the meter, evidently, she must have gotten too close, and she always came up to people and wanted to be petted. And she must have gotten too close because there was a big yelp. And from then on, if anybody ever came into our yard that was not of our family, she tucked her tail and ran. Evidently, the man that came to read the meter that day must have kicked her. She was never the same. The hardest thing in the world to do is to choose to submit yourself to God. Even though in James chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." 1 Corinthians 11 is about basically two things. One is talking about God's leadership. God is the head overall. We understand that. There's God and there's Christ, and Christ was always submissive to God the Father. And then there's man who's submissive to Christ and to God, and woman who is submissive to man and to Christ and to God. And that's basically the overall illustration of biblical leadership and biblical followership. We're going to talk about that tonight, and we're dealing with the submissive nature. So we understand that God's in control. We begin by turning over to the 29th Psalm. We want to read that whole Psalm. So if you have your device in hand, it's got to be back here somewhere. We'll read verses 1 through 11. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory, the God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. And I've seen those in Oklahoma. They look a little red today. There's a lot of red dirt going on. And it probably is going down into Texas somewhere. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his glory, and in his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. When we look at life and every circumstance of life, we don't have all the answers. Some time ago, they used to call Kansas Tornado Alley, or at least a certain section of it now. And it seems to me like that alley has moved down into Oklahoma. And so we build storm shelters, we build basements, and we think that we can try to do the best that we can to save our lives. And then the floods come. And I remember recently with one of the floods that happened in Oklahoma, there was a lady that was in a storm shelter and she drowned. What a tragedy. As the rain pitter-patters on the roof outside. We think that we can control things. We love watching Jay Prater and Ben Pringle. Well, Channel 10, if you watch Channel 10. And we like to think that, you know, the weatherman gets it right at least once every five times. And he's still employed. But who can predict the weather? Nobody. Except God. God is the one that sits enthroned over everything and he's in control. And the best that we can do is ride out whatever comes our way. In the 47th Psalm, in verse 2, it says, "How awesome is the Lord, Most High, the great King over all the earth." He sits back and he's in control and we know it. And when people start talking about that we are in this climate change, that, what do they call it, global warming, I despise that whole concept. And not because of science, but because of God. Because when you talk about global warming, if you talk at it in that manner, you say that there is no God in charge of that, and I believe there is. If God wanted to raise the temperature of the earth, it'll be raised. If he wants to lower the temperature of the earth, it'll be lowered. And I think about the temperatures we're in right now, and I say, thank God we're in global warming. Because we might be in the 50s if it weren't. I say that with tongue in cheek because I don't believe in the concept. I believe in the concept of God. Psalm 93, if you would, turn to that psalm. The writers of the Psalms didn't have global positioning systems. They didn't have satellites. They didn't have television. They didn't have weathermen. They didn't have a lot of security that we think that we have. And yet those people were more secure than we'll ever be. Because without those securities, they knew they had to trust in God. And so the psalmist in the 93rd Psalm, in verses 1 through 5, it says, "The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord." His statutes cannot be changed. When God said something, it's exactly what he intended to happen. And God is in control of things. We are not. So in dealing with the concept of a submissive nature, we must first establish the glory of God. The glory and the majesty and the honor and the power of God, so that we'll realize we are in control of nothing. We are not in control. Even when we think we are. I walk into my house and I open the gate and there's this little dog named Sierra that's Bonnie's dog, although she doesn't think she belongs to Bonnie. Tristan walks in the house and she'd rather jump in Tristan's lap than listen to Bonnie. It just is living proof that even Bonnie's not in control. Let alone Larry. And neither are you? In 2 Kings chapter 19, we read of a king named Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. And a king, the king of the Assyrian army named Sennacherib, has approached with a vast army that is not conquerable. And he has sent an envoy telling King Hezekiah, you need to surrender. And there is a prophecy against Sennacherib that comes. But there is something that is said beginning at verse 14. 2 Kings 19. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Now, if this was our president, do you know what he would do? He would call together his advisors without consulting God, because that's the nature of things in our country now. I'm just telling you the truth. If you were back in the 60s, I would say, well, you know, there were more people who were given toward the inclination of obeying back in the 60s, although there were a bunch of hippie-fied people who are now wanting to control the path of our government, because they were the hippies back then, and now they are our senators and our presidents and things like that. It's quite odd how that happens, isn't it? Yes, but here we are. But Hezekiah knew what to do about it. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. Is it true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands? They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God. Boy, if our leaders of our country could get this concept, we'd be in a lot better shape as a nation. Because we wouldn't be depending upon what God forbade the Israelites to depend upon. The Israelites were forbidden to depend upon the sword and the chariot. Now, I know that they didn't have guns and they didn't have anti-ballistic missiles and stuff like that, but they had swords and chariots. And so what God is trying to get across to people who believe in him and people who love him and people that know that he can establish them is that God's in control. Seek him and God will bless. And that's all there is to that. You can read the rest of the story, but the story is this. God won, and so did his people. So God has his creation. He has his place. He has his power. He has his purpose. He has his will. He has his knowledge. He has his leadership. But most of all, he has his nature. And when you read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, the last part of it says, and the head of Christ is God. There's the nature. That's all we need to know besides this fact. Number two, man's fellowship. If there is God's sovereignty and God's leadership, man has a place in that. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And while you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there's an Old Testament passage that says in Jeremiah the 10th chapter and verse 23, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. I used to think about when I was a kid, well, when I was a young father, and we would go someplace, if I was ever lost, my dad would have wanted me to stop at a gas station and ask directions. Have you ever tried that at a Quick Trip? Just try it. Just pull up to this Quick Trip over here and ask them, how do you get to the Derby Church of Christ? And they'll give you a phone book. Because Jeremiah 10:23 is right. It's not within man to direct his own steps. And this is talking about Quick Trip employees only. No, it's talking about us. And if women, if you've ever gotten lost and you've ever elbowed your husband and say, shouldn't we have stopped and asked for directions? Get a GPS. Like Joe has Lola. She's been a good GPS. Even though she may have to say, what is that, recalculating. I've ridden with Joe. I've heard recalculating before. Now then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in dealing with this passage, I'll get there. We drop down to verse 14. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Now that's all I want to read from that verse, but that is the point. God leads us in triumphal procession. God leads us if we ourselves are willing to follow. Again, James chapter 4 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But do you know what the word submit means? It's just like when you come to a place there's not a stop sign and you're getting ready to merge and there is this triangular sign. A triangle. You know what that word, you know what that triangular sign means? Yield. And do you know what an eight-sided sign means? Slow down. I know this because there's one that sits in my front yard. And nobody but me and my wife and hopefully my kids stop at that stop sign. And I'm always thinking, if only the police parked across the street from my house, they would have plenty of money to do whatever they wanted to do in this city. Because there are a lot of people that don't know how to yield, and they don't know how to submit to God, and they don't want to. But the word submit is the Greek word hupotasso. Hupotasso. And it means this. It means to arrange oneself under. To put in subjection. To subordinate. Now, men, I want you to go home and do an exercise for me. Go home and have your wife sit down at the dinner table and say, now, honey, I'm in charge. I want you to submit to me. And then we want to gather tomorrow night to see how many of you have black eyes. Because that doesn't work. And there's something about a woman, a man can never, ever, never, ever, ever, Chris, are you listening? I know you're getting married June the 6th. A woman will never, ever, ever be made to submit. She has to choose it. Submission is one of the greatest choices that a human could make. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it is following what Jesus did. Jesus himself submitted himself to the living God. And he submitted himself to things that he was not necessarily looking forward to. And so the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. You see, our place is not leadership. Our place is fellowship. It's always been that God is in control, and when we learn that, then we submit ourselves to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, in this wonderful passage that deals with husbands and wives and their roles that God has given them, Do you want the long version or the short version so we can quit early tonight since you all showed up? Okay, the short version. I won't do verses 22 through 33 then. Just verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There is a time when even a man in his relationship with his wife is to be submissive to her, and a woman in a relationship with her husband is to be submissive to him, and both are constantly to be submissive to God, to Christ. And so I won't read the rest of that passage of Scripture. That's for another night. But here's the point. I am not in control of anything. If there is anything that good that comes out of my life, do you know who I can blame? You heard what I said. You know who I can blame? Do you know who I can thank? It's God. And if God can use me, you know what He can do with you. You know it. 1 Corinthians 11 is not a part of our culture. It hasn't been for years. But it is a part of God's culture. It's a part of the church. The other day when Tyson was having his surgery, and we were so happy when the doctor came out and said, Tyson did not tear his labrum. We thought it was torn. It wasn't torn. We thought he might have torn his rotator cuff. It isn't torn. We just cleaned up a bunch of, quoting, bursa junk. That was what the surgeon said. And so he's going to have a lot quicker recovery. But on the television was this show called The View. That is not God's view of things. That is the humanistic, feministic, ultra-liberal view of life. And young Christian women and young Christian men and old Christian women and old Christian men shouldn't even watch that junk. They ought to call it The Junk. Because it's totally contrary to what 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 teaches us. And I'm not saying that man is any better than woman. I've never said that. I don't believe that. But I believe man has his place, woman has her place, Christ has his place, and God the Father has his place. And God and Christ is in the leadership capacity, and ours is in the fellowship capacity. And so God does not expect me to be the most intelligent being on the earth and figure out my own way to heaven, because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I need Christianity simple so I can follow it. After all, I'm not the smartest cookie. I'm not the sharpest tool. You understand all that. You've listened to me. And just like I said this morning, every once in a while, my wife will think that I'm an idiot. And Joe's not here tonight to amen that again. I've given you a chance and you just blew it. But here's the thing. If we're going to get to heaven, it's going to be because we have chosen to be submissive to the will of God. We can't do it our way. And we cannot think that we are smarter than God, because we're not. It is not within man to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10 and 23. We're glad you're here tonight. Pray for rain for July, but sunshine for tomorrow. If there's anyone here that realizes perhaps they've just not been as submissive as they could be, and you would like to pray for help in regard to that, we'll assist you. But if there's someone here tonight that has not named the name of Christ and not submitted to the will of God by obeying it, repenting of sins, confessing the name of Christ, and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this song. Come while we stand and sing.